unfair is structuring the service to the fact to the point where your guest speaker begins to cry before he begins.
Praise God.
This is not what I would consider fair. Ms. Paula, if you can go ahead and put first slide up there. What an odd title. I don't know if you saw that in your bulletin, but what an odd title. Ordinary God Pleasers. When we think about God, we think about things that are not very ordinary. It's supposed to be special, supposed to be lifted up. And it is. And from the fellowship and the amount of time that I've been able to spend with you a few weeks ago when Mr. David was speaking, and then certainly today, I think you guys have already got most of this message that I'm about to bring. But just in case, I'm going to let you guys follow along with a journey in my heart, if you don't mind, on something that God has been working through me. And let it kind of flesh out a little bit as we open God's Word. Go ahead and turn, if you would like, to 1 Thessalonians 4. You certainly will have it up on the screen as well. Mr. David, you're right. That's a long way down to be able to see that. I concur. But yeah, as Mike said, I had the privilege of growing up here in Gilmer County. Graduated high school. This year will be 20 years ago. Yeah. And so, which would mean that the summer we got to spend together out at Carter K. Baptist Church was 20 years ago. And like you mentioned, we got wonderful folks. My mom's here today and thankful for that. And Dad's struggling with some physical ailments, so he's not able to be here, but he wanted to be, you know, for sure. And my wife and family, I've got been married for about 11 years. I've got three children. Teresa had to go and be with her family. Her parents are having some health issues and some things going on, so kind of had to make a quick trip this week up north. And so I'm going to spend some time with them. So I'm kind of by myself with my mom here today, but that's okay. We're all in together. But growing up, I had no complaints. Mom and Dad were wonderful. Got to pray with my dad at age 8 on becoming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we were kind of one of those families that we were in church every time the doors were open. It was Wednesday night, Sunday morning, because that's the way we used to do it back then, if you'll remember. but I was always there. And as the wonderful people around me begin to grow in my faith. But one of the things that happened in my heart, at least, and I don't know if any of you can identify, is there was a large separation, kind of a disconnect, if you will, from kind of the average and everyday life and then church life. And not that that I would say my growing up here was marked with a lot of, you know, perverse sin or, you know, anything like that. It just wasn't much of a focus on the God thing unless we were in the God building, right? And so, but I did the normal things. We went to youth camp and we did all those things. And even at age 13, I, you know, had really sensed the compulsion and a leading that, you know, God may want me to be a ministry full time, and got to even do some mission work when I was about 15. And that was great. And but still kind of returned to life, you know. We had school to do, and I played music in high school, and we had that to focus on. And the God part really didn't enter in that much. I remember this distinctly. I was dating a young lady in high school, and you know, full approval of mom and dad and, you know, all those kind of things, and knew their family. And remember one of mom and dad's friends asking them, and I didn't hear this conversation, they relayed it to me, but so now he's dating this person. Well, where does she go to church? And she did. We didn't really talk about that much. And it had kind of escaped me, and it had escaped mom and dad even at the time. And we rectified that and started bringing her to church with me, and that was fine. But I think that kind of illustrates the kind of the disconnect. And I don't know if any of you ever have kind of gone through a period of your life like that where you had the real life and then kind of the church life. Well, for some unknown reason, in the providence of God, I received a phone call from Carter K. Baptist Church about becoming a summer youth intern or pastor or something. And here was a kid who loved the Lord but had no more of a clue of anything of what to do than anybody that you ever saw. And some precious folks like Mike and Paula were there, knowing and seeing that I didn't have a clue, and allowed us to do. And we had a great summer that summer. God was good. And I just remember distinctly that a bunch of nobodies really did some work of the Lord that time. And we all grew up. And we saw some lives touched and changed during that time. And there are names that we forget, and there are events that we forget, but the kingdom marched on, even in spite of us, right? Right? So I had the privilege, like I said, of going to a Christian college. Mom and Dad were great. We, all three of us, worked real hard to keep me going there. I had a lot of academic prowess. I managed to squeeze 4 years of college into 12. And it was great. So meager grades at best. And went on to do the same thing with seminary, about 3 years of seminary into 7. So, so let's just say, academics may not be my forte, but I enjoyed that time there. But I tell you, I was surrounded by a group of people there that were very spiritually minded, or at least they looked that way. Oh my word, it's all they thought about, it's all they talked about. And being a sold-out believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, outwardly and visibly and whatever, was what you did there. I'd never been around anything like that in my life. And for all the great reasons and purposes, please don't take anything I'm about to say as against them. I'm telling you what came out of my heart as a result, okay? So they paraded the biggest and the best and the brightest pastors, musicians, most influential churches in America, missionaries from overseas, paraded them in front of us, and they spoke and they inspired, and we caught vision and we caught hope, and that's what I had to do to be pleasing to God. I've got to have a name. I've got to have some notoriety. And I can no longer have that disconnect. I've got to be so full on, and not only am I doing the right things, but people have to know me. And if they don't, maybe I'm not cutting it. And as a result was an inward heart pursuit of stardom. I was critical of unstardom. People that are just laboring and doing the work of the Lord. But on the flip side, I was failing and I wasn't measuring up. And why was I not measuring up? Why did not God use me like them? And I'm not even going to mention a name because that would be defeating the point. I had a couple of internships at a very influential church during that time. And I failed miserably. Terribly. I was so timid because the people around me had been groomed for this kind of their whole growing up time, And I was still kind of unsure, and I was still kind of timid, and I washed out. No one kind of took the time to put an arm around me and say, this is how we do it and how we do ministry. Has anyone ever felt like that? Like the life we live and what we do may not be measuring up to what really makes a difference for the kingdom? Has anyone else felt that we want to serve God, we want to please God, but felt like we are just amazingly insignificant when it comes to the kingdom? Mike, I couldn't even see a steeple on this thing for miles away. And I think you know where I'm going here. Ordinary God pleasers. Any of you labor in jobs and in situations that you kind of hate right now? Anybody? Maybe you care for family, the little kiddos, or maybe you have aging parents or something of that nature. And in love, you do what we're supposed to do. But really make a difference in the kingdom. I'm too bogged down in these things. Maybe the day is never ending. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's jobs. Maybe it's constant bills, laundry, preparing meals. Oh, yeah, where is God in that? Where is God in that? People that do that don't headline conferences. And they don't write books. Okay? And sometimes you're asking, and I don't think this church asks this very often, as best I can tell, but where's my support? Where is this community of believers? Are they there? Is it not? We see people in church, but maybe there's no real connection, life on life. Are we afraid to be real, to be honest, afraid to feel weak, have some of that pride inside me, you know, that keeps me from being vulnerable at the time? Does anybody have that struggle sometimes? Maybe you're here today, and like any of us, that some sin has overtaken some choices. And though you know God forgives these things, I'm not sure if I'll ever be able to please God again. Look at what I've done. In a moment of weakness. And I want to share with you today what God's been working on me with. God has a word about this. God speaks to this. God speaks to love and ministry and serving Him and pleasing Him in the ordinary, in the day-to-day, in the mundane. So 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to target 9 through 12, but I kind of want to put a context on it because we're kind of coming in the middle of a conversation. You know, you ever have somebody, a crazy aunt, butt in the middle of a conversation and not catch the beginning of it, which misses the whole point, you know? Yeah, we want to avoid that. So what is Paul saying? I'm going to just kind of go verse 1 and 2. I don't have it up on the screen, but this kind of frames what we're going to be talking about. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. So this was not a rebuke that Paul was giving these group of believers. He was a reminder. He says, you guys are already doing this. You're already doing this. So I want you to keep going. Let's keep going. This is not that I've run many races. I mean, look at me. But if you think about a long distance race course and someone is running and running, you got somebody on the side handing a cup of water. Come on, keep going. Let's go. Not that they're not. You know they are. You see them. But it's keep on. Let's keep on. Let's keep on. So let's look at verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren. Seen a lot of that here today. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Kind of that same picture. Keep going. Keep going. Right? So excel in love. And to make it your ambition to lead 1,000 people to the Lord every year. To lead many worship services and mission trips. Now, to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. To attend to your own business. And work with your hands, just as we commanded you. So that, why are we doing this? We do it to please God, but why? What's the result here on earth? So that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in need. Kingdom was on his mind there. In pleasing God and moving forward the kingdom with the God of the mundane. So I sum that up in one basic thing. We can switch one over there. To live a life pleasing to God, love others, live quietly, look after your affairs, and labor diligently. Love, live, look after, labor. This is pleasing to God. So as we look at these four things briefly, I want you to understand that these are not four separate components of things. These are all interwrapped in each other. Because we do want to look after our own affairs, but sometimes our affairs get too much and we need the love of the brethren. Sometimes many of us may be tempted to perhaps meddle in other affairs than others. But if we look after our own affairs, then the love of the brethren will take that over. And maybe the labor that we're doing for the kingdom or for our families will keep us in love with the brethren. John 13, and we talked about this, Mike talked about this a little bit. How's my time going? Got to be conscious, okay? John 13, 34. Jesus says, and you think about this passage of John, he is coming to the end, okay? He's coming to the very, very end. So he gathers his guys, come here, guys. Look around, look, come here, huddle up. New commandment I give you, that you are to go door to door and witness to everybody you see. No. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for another. And we have to think about these early Christians. And see, the men of God that He sent out into the world to change this world, to bring the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world where it had never been before. This ragtag band, this new cult coming off of the Jewish faith, these followers of the way, these Galileans, right? They never forgot this. Because as they went through, what was their life and ministry marked by? By good theology? Yeah, that's important. But what did people know them for? For their love. And how they did that. The early church, their love and generosity, few names recorded, but they went on from obscure followers of the way to take over the world with the kingdom. And they remembered stories of Jesus, where Jesus would tell a story about how a victim of racism loved and helped a victim of a crime in the Good Samaritan, right? And how he would raise up and had helped him along, even when it was not good to do. And he did not teach him a lesson in that moment. He bandaged his wounds. Okay? The only evidence of being a Jesus follower is how we love. And from what I've seen here, you guys have got the love thing down. And that's very neat to be a part of you here today. So what does it mean to live quietly? We see the next thing here, to live quietly. I heard this described as I was studying through this. A quiet life is not necessarily standing or sitting on the bank of the river watching the water go by. Living quietly is being a boulder inside the river as the water rushes by. And maybe that's a better picture of things, because you see a mighty rushing river and a big boulder in the middle, and the water from the back starts to calm. And that's what living quietly is all about. Are we in our lives drawing attention to ourselves or to God by what we do? The word ambition here means to strive, as we see here in the text, to work at it. Maybe perhaps we all crave spotlight at times. I know I did. Can't speak for you. But just to be honest before God, that's how my heart was drawn. Maybe we perhaps all scrape some spotlight, some noticing, some special word. Why didn't they send me a card? Why didn't they call me on XYZ day? Some kind of a notoriety. And I'll just tell you, just to be honest, how my family and I have tried to live this out. It's pretty much church and family time is our social time. we're not doing a whole lot else outside of that. Personally, and I'm not going to say this is the prescription, but we personally disconnected satellite and cable TV from our house. That's one of the ways we did it. We needed to save some money on those things, but it was just a time waster. It was eating things up. It was not a very quiet life with that kind of garbage coming in. So that's one of the ways we did it. We've begun the process of downsizing, eliminating debt, all those kind of things. This all is a part of a quiet life. And one of the things that I have loved very, very much, had all of this theological training, all these kind of things, and the ministry I enjoy most at our local church is packing backpacks. That's the one I love the most. We have a ministry at Teresa and our family. We're members of the Black Deer Place Baptist Church in Flowery Branch, and it's a very large church. But one of the things that we do is that on Wednesday nights, she goes and teaches Awana, and I go and pack backpacks full of food that go to local elementary schools. And those kids are going to never know me or anything like that, but the fellowship among those folks on meeting those needs, that is a quiet satisfaction of something that God wants to do. That's one of the things we've done. So we love others. We live quietly. We look after our own affairs. How are we handling money in our own lives? Jesus talked a lot about that. So how are we doing that? Are bills paid on time? Are timely communication on arrangements? These are looking after our own stuff. And the reason we do this, and this is can get off on a tangent, and I'm not going to, but when we face business head on, as we come in contact with the people around us, this is what God is talking about. If we have our stuff together and our affairs in order as best we can, then there's nothing that anyone can grab hold of us and say, you're a Christian and you do this. Does that make sense? This is, when we look after our own affairs, this is what he is talking about, stewardship, on whatever God has placed in our hands. Time, treasure, talents, you know, things, anything like that. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to look after affairs. And then lastly, labor with diligence. Colossians 3:23. It's a pretty famous passage on this. And whatever you do, do your work heartily, as to the Lord, rather than from men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Honorable work done to the best of your ability, doesn't matter what it is pleasing to God. And let me say here to all pastors, elders, whatever, no less important than anyone standing here or anyone serving in a church. Your work is every bit as important to God as being a pastor, elder, worship leader, missionary, because pleasing God is the highest order. Pleasing God is the ultimate goal. And His Word says, as we have seen, this pleases the Lord. Mom, are you taking care of those kiddos? Endless diapers and PB&J? That is pleasing to God. Store owner, are you serving your customers well? This is pleasing to God. Farmer, are you partnering with God, creating life-sustaining food for the world? This is pleasing to God. Laborer, is your hard work, your humility, your lack of complaining, preferring others, not having to be first, you are building a platform to speak into someone's life because of your work. And in the places where God has you, you are going to touch lives that no pastor or no missionary will ever be able to touch, that is just as important to God as anyone else. What we believe is marked most by what we consistently behave. And I'm not talking about times we slip and have bad moments and those kind of things. That happens to all of us, happens to me a lot. But I'm talking about in the consistency of our life, what we truly believe is what we behave. I think all of us would give lip service that, oh, of course, it's all the same and it's all important. Do we really believe that? And I can't answer that for anybody but me. And I had a hard time believing that. And I'm still working on believing that. But God has pushed through it. I think I am. There is much that we pay lip service to that we don't really believe. Maybe we need to get more engaged in our local church. We need to carry out that first thing, that love component, better. Maybe we can examine why all of life must be posted on social media. And I'll let you decide on that. But I think there's something that rubs up again living quietly with that. Do we need to have an intentional slowing of our pace? Are we running ragged all the time? And if we are, do we need to examine some things? Is our money and debt out of control? Are we not able to manage affairs very well? Are we always worried and nervous about these things? Are we easily put off by dealing with people? I know I have been. Are we giving your employer good labor for your wages? Are we serving clients and coworkers well, regardless of what we may get in return? Let's imagine for a second what life would look like with this kind of a pace. That the love of the brethren would be so much a part of our lives. What can we do? You have this beautiful frontage property here. You have so much that God would be able to do right here. What can we do if our lives slowed down enough, that was quiet enough, that we could hear the voice of God saying, I want you to move forward in some direction? If our life wasn't as complicated, that bills were paid and debts were gone, so that I can move and do whatever God may call me to do. That the outside could look at our lives, just imagine, if the outside could look at our lives and say, I don't know if I want to be one of those. Boy, I'd love to hire a bunch of them. You know? I don't know if I want to be one of those, but I would sure want my daughter to marry one of them. Look how they love. And look how unencumbered their lives are. And look how hard she works. And look what a loving spirit amidst some really hard times they go through. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell you, life is difficult. And the effects of sin, I don't think we're ever going to know this side of heaven. It plagues us all. And it is deeply rooted in our hearts. But God provides a way for ordinary nobodies like us to please Him and to impact the kingdom. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we love You and we thank You so very much. God, I thank You that I don't have to have a name brand, that we don't have to be famous, that You don't just choose the somebodies, You choose the ordinary. And You have placed a hope in us that not only can we be free of sin in our own right, but we can advance kingdom. We can do important things for You. That we have opportunity to straighten our lives and to focus. And to do our work with glad hearts as an act of worship. Because, Lord, everything we have comes from You. And all of our ability and any ability we have comes from You. And it is our job to be kingdom-minded and to get out of the way and to grab on and to find our place as your kingdom moves on. Lord, I pray for this precious group of believers. This has been such a neat day to spend with them, to experience the love they have for you and for one another. Lord, please cast a vision in their hearts of what could be as they reach this community with the love that only comes from you. In Christ's name, amen.